Prabhupada ki jai, Namacharya Dasakur ki jai, Pramsika ho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nijana, Sri Radha Shuti Gaur, Bhakti Vrindi ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur Gubra, Shama Kunarada Guri Giri Gubra Dhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Nabhurva Dham ki jai, Ganga Jana Sauti Bhakti Devi ki jai, Kanani Gauri Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai, Samadetta Bhakti Vrindi ki jai, Gopra Ganandi, Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishasanyavani Prasadare Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadana Ashwasi Gaurabhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We from count of five Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 2 verse 2. Sakara Chaya Pitra Loka Kamaha Suravara Vanita Kridakshura Dronyam Bhagavantam Vishvasrajam Patim Abhruta Paricharyopakaranam Hatmaika Gradina Tapasyaradayam Babuva. Translation: desiring to get a perfect son and become an inhabitant of Pitraloka, Maharaja Nidra once worshipped Lord Brahma, the master of those in charge of material creation. He went to a valley, Mandara Hill, where the damsels of heavenly planets came down to stroll. There he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia, and then engaged in severe austerities and worship. Therefore, the king became Pitraloka Kama, or desires of being transferred to the planet named Pitraloka. Pitraloka is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. To go to this planet, one needs very good sons who can make offerings to Lord Vishnu and then offer the remnants to the forefathers. The purpose of the sutta ceremony is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, so that after pleasing him, one may offer prasad to one's forefathers and this way make them happy. The inhabitants of Pitraloka are generally men of the karma khandi or food activities category, who have been transferred there because of their pious activities. They can stay there as long as their descendants offer them Vishnu prasad. Everyone in heavenly planets such as Pitraloka, however, must return to earth after exhausting efforts, effects of his pious acts, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Kine punya marcha lakam vichanti. Persons who perform pious acts are transferred to higher planets, but when the effects of their pious acts are over, they are again transferred to earth. Since Maharaj Priyavada was a great devotee, how could he have begotten a son who desired to be transferred to Pitraloka? Lord Krishna says, Pitranyati Pitravata, persons who desire to go to Pitraloka are transferred there. Similarly, Yanti Majjanopanam, persons who desire to be transferred to spiritual planets, Vaikuntha Lokas, can also go there. Since Maharaja Nidra was the son of a Vaishnava, he should have desired to be transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. Why then did he desire to be transferred to Pitraloka? In answer to this, Goswami Giridhar, one of the Bhagavatam commentators, remarks that Agnidra was born when Maharaj Priyavrata was infatuated by lusty desires. This may be accepted as fact because sons are begotten with different mentalities according to the time of their conception. According to the Vedic system, therefore, before a child is conceived, the garbhadha and the samskara is performed. This ceremony molds the mentality of the father in such a way that when he plants his feet in the womb of the woman, wife, he will beget a child whose mind will be completely saturated with a devotional attitude. At the present moment, however, there are no such garbhadana samskaras, and therefore people generally have a lusty attitude when they beget children. Especially in this age of Kali, there are no garbhadana ceremonies. Everyone enjoys sex with his wife like a cat or dog. Therefore, according to Shastra conjunctions, almost all the people of this age belong to the Sudra category. Of course, although Maharaja Nidra had a desire to be transferred to Pitraloka, this does not mean that his mentality was that of a Sudra. He was a Kshatriya. Maharaja Nidra desired to be transferred to Pitraloka, and therefore he needed a wife, because anyone desiring to be transferred to Pitraloka must be behind a good son to offer yearly pinda or prasad from Lord Vishnu. To have a good son, Maharaja Nidra wanted a wife from a family of demigods. Therefore he went to Mandara Hill, where the women of the demigods generally come to worship Lord Brahma. Bhagavad Gita just said, Kankshata Karmanam Sadimyati Iha Devata, materialists who want quick results in the material world worship demigods. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Aishvarya Prajipsavaha, those who desire beautiful wives, substantial wealth, and many sons, worship the demigods, but an intelligent devotee, instead of being entangled by the happiness of this material world in the form of a beautiful wife, material happiness, and children, desires that he may be transferred back home to Godhead. Thus he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. As I desire to get a perfect son and become an inhabitant of Pitraloka, Maharaj Agnido must worship Lord Brahma, the master of those in charge of material creation. He went to a valley of Mandara Hill where the damsels and heavenly planets come down to stroll. There he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia, then engaged in severe austerities and worship. So, here, Maharaj Agnido, the son of Priyavrata, is mentioned as Pitraloka Kama, desiring to go to Pitraloka. So, this is at once in the normal system of Varnashram, this is encouraged because grihasthas get married and grihasthas have children and the children are devoted to the parents and they do the shraddha rites for the parents and therefore they ensure the parents have a good afterlife. So in this process of shraddha, they worship pitras. And of course, as is said in Bhagavad Gita, if you worship the pitras, you go to the pitras. So Pitraloka is a heavenly planet. And if one actually worships the pitras, one can go there. And out of necessity, of course, then one has to have one's sons carry out the worship also after one is deceased. The two things are more or less synonymous, getting a good son and going to Pitraloka. A good son will perform the shraddha rites properly so that the parents can go to Pitraloka. Now there's nothing wrong with having good children. And especially for the king, he must have a good son because he must pass on his lineage and continue the line of great kings who institute Dharma. So in that sense, there is no problem in looking for a good son. Simply desiring to go to Pitraloka or to Svargaloka in the next lifetime, that is a desire tainted by material enjoyment. Thus, this whole system of karma yoga, varnashram, etc. has this tinge of material enjoyment, in spite of the fact that we consider dharma to be very good. So it is somewhat of a compromise, because material enjoyment is to some degree encouraged because that is the propensity of people, but the material enjoyment is also regulated so that ultimately the people become detached from it. So if one wants to enjoy, then one has to do certain things. If one wants to enjoy in the next life, then you have to do austerities. So this is exactly what King Adnidra did. He performed worship and austerities very intensely in order to get this result, a good son, and going to Pitraloka. So in order to get enjoyment, we also have to do the opposite. We have to renounce enjoyment. In other words, the enjoyment which is offered in the Karmakanda section, Varnashram, etc., has stipulations attached to it. There are rules and regulations which will create a sense of sense control for the person. So it is not unbridled sense gratification. One has to control the senses to some degree. So that is beneficial. However, we know that the ultimate goal of all of this is not permanent, it is temporary. So if you go to Pitraloka, you can fall from there. You go to Svargaloka, you can fall. You go to Brahmaloka, you can fall. So in all these endeavors, we get temporary results. So this is one problem. The other problem, of course, is not only it's temporary, but those goals are for our own satisfaction, not the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. So in themselves, therefore, these goals are not considered spiritual. As I mentioned, the king had a duty to perform, that is to produce a good offspring, etc. So in that sense, his desire was according to the Varnashram system, etc. It was bona fide. But from the highest point of view, spiritual point of view, still that is all material, to desire sons and whatever like that. Therefore, from the point of view of bhakti, the process of karma yoga, varnashram, karma khanda, whatever, it gets criticized because of this. So it is unfortunate that the people that partake of the system often lose sight of the real goal. Just as King Agnidra seems to be losing sight of the goal because he's desiring to go to Pitraloka, whereas the real goal should be to serve the Supreme Lord. So though there is worship of the Supreme Lord within the rules of Varnashram, so this makes it spiritual in one sense, still, because it is not the prominent feature, people tend to forget this aspect, and they make the other goals stronger. And therefore, bhakti at best is a secondary aspect. Yes, they also worship Vishnu, they don't disregard him, but they have other things in mind. So this binds them to the material world. Because they worship the Supreme Lord gives them the result they want. He gives them Svargaloka. Devadas on their own cannot give Svargaloka. By the mercy of the Lord, they can get Svargaloka also. So, we know that the ultimate goal of Varnashram is mukti. But it is very difficult for Kshatriyas to directly go for mukti because they have Rajagun Sattvagun mixture. So only when they become Brahminical in some future birth and they're more sattvic, predominantly sattvic, then they can fix themselves on liberation and jnana and yoga, etc. So it is actually not surprising that the king would favor Pitraloka, etc., rather than liberation or going to the spiritual world within this particular system. However, we also know that his father was a great devotee. He had the mercy of the Lord, he had the mercy of Narada Muni and Brahma, etc. So in his life he was not, though he became the king, he was not really deviated. And he understood what the real goal was and was fixing that goal. And therefore after doing his duty for many millions of years, he renounced and became very detached from everything and took full time to worship with the Lord. We find his son Agnidra seems to be more confused because he's having these other goals in mind. So in spite of the fact of having a good father, still, somehow or other, Agnidra ended up in this position of wanting Pitraloka, etc. So he had this tendency to lose perspective and lose sight of the proper goal. So this is the danger when we start mixing systems together. And therefore, the Bhagavatam makes very strong statements, and it condemns everything, in spite of the fact that throughout the first part of the Bhagavatam, we have the history of so many kings. At the same time, we find direct statements of condemnation of all of this in favor of simply of bhakti. Mm-hmm. Why? Because people get confused, as we see in this case. Priyavrata was not confused, but ultimately he renounced the kingdom and did full-time mm-hmm. service to the Lord. Here, Maharaj Agnidra gets confused because he's following this system. He's also expected to be a devotee, whatever. So this part takes prominence and he becomes confused by it. So what to speak of ordinary people in Kali Yuga? These are great kings. He is the son of Priyavrata. And these kings are empowered by the Lord, the vibhutis of the Lord. So what to speak of common people? They will become more confused. And what to speak of the people of Kali Yuga, when Dharma itself is not there and the kings are not there to institute it properly, then people will become very, very confused by all these different systems. So therefore, Bhagavatam emphasizes that these are all secondary elements, and the main process is the devotion or bhakti. And if we cannot do anything else, if we do bhakti, we're successful. If we do everything else, we don't do bhakti, we're a failure. If we do a mixture of things, then we have to be very careful, as in the case of King Agnidra. He became confused. So now people in Kali Yuga also tend to become confused by these different processes. So that is why the Bhagavatam recommends ultimately the process of bhakti over everything else, and not even doing the other processes, because it can lead to material attachments and confusion in life. So Maharaj Agnidra is a good example of this. In spite of good family, in spite of good association, still he became confused by this whole system. Well, of course, the scripture is such that it does not always simply tell the direct truth. Yes, it is the spotless Purana, and among all the different Puranas, it tells more directly than the others. Still, some things are told indirectly sometimes, or not so clearly. That means that we have to understand the ultimate message by our intelligence and through the acharyas. So we have many statements in the Bhagavatam. We have to see the consolidated statement finally. We should not think that everything is so easy. So this goes for all the scriptures, including Bhagavad Gita. If we want, we can take some other meaning out of Bhagavad Gita also. But if we study very intelligently, then we'll see that everything leads to one conclusion there also. The Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita simply says, do bhakti yoga, then that's it. We don't need scripture. Because that's three words, do bhakti yoga, finish. But people are not satisfied with that, so they have to be convinced in different ways. So therefore, the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they describe why you should do bhakti yoga by comparing it to the other processes, and we see the other results of the other processes. So through this presentation, then the Lord finally concludes the best process is bhakti. So after examining the other processes, so for instance in Bhagavad Gita he explains karma yoga, and then he also says yes, and then the results are temporary and you fall down from that position. So though he recommends it, at the same time he doesn't recommend it because it has some negative aspects to it. So one has to read the scriptures intelligently. And though the conclusion is there, they will often present other arguments and other processes simply in order to support the conclusion.
How much his father's devotees and his teachers and everybody would have influenced his analysis, what should be his goal, and but he still desired this particular goal. Is it the problem of training or this particular choice?
Well, here it says his character itself was someone of a lower nature than Priyavrata, it says. But at the same time, we cannot unduly criticize because definitely he's in the proper family and he's also an empowered king of the whole world, so the descendant of Manu. So in that sense, he's not a demon or anything like that. But he was obviously of a lesser stature than his father. And therefore, he could not maintain the same purity. So definitely, he's of a lower status. Yeah, they're said to get the results of their descendants. Yeah. Well, they also go if their sons do the rites. So in this way they have to keep producing sons. Which is good for maintaining a lineage, definitely. And actually in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna argues against killing because you destroy the warriors and the warriors have no, then they're dead and then their wives have no progeny, proper progeny or whatever, so then the whole dynasty gets upset, all the families get upset because of that.
Huh?
Oh, doesn't say. I suppose they can also go to Pitraloka if the worship is done properly. But in spite of the fact that he was not maybe the greatest king, still, we find the next descendant prominent was Rishabhadev, who was an incarnation of God, so therefore he was in no way condemnable as a king because he did his duties properly to some extent. Yeah, there's nature plus there's training, etc. Obviously the nature itself is very important, and then you can train or not train. If you don't train, then most potential of that nature will not come up to its maximum. Yeah? And then you have bad association that can also influence. However, we also know the process of bhakti itself destroys all the gunas and all karma, so therefore this is a process by which that restriction is no longer valid.
And apply this to the present gender devotees. We all know that worshipping Radha Krishna in the temple form of Ayur, and then we were getting attacked with the Vishnu songs, the Yoga Yatra, so all these opportunities for Vishnu temples. And we say this also like Asambhava.
Well, if they become attracted to those forms, that simply means that then their goal is Vaikuntha. They go to Vaikuntha instead of going to Krishna, that's all. There's nothing wrong with worshiping Vishnu because generally in the Varnashram system, that's what they worship. They worship Vishnu. But one can attain prema for Vishnu. There's nothing wrong with that also. But for people in general in Kali Yuga, the form of Krishna is a more attractive form.
Because of the various pastimes of the Lord, for what reason?
The Varnashram system goes on throughout the day of Brahma, and. Generally, Krishna is not there, so they don't know about him until 28th cycle in Vaivasvata Manu.
So, when
संतरा सुशीमन पात्र की
जय
जय मनमाला की
जय
मैं वेद देव के पुत्र भगवान की
जय
भाई बहुत प्रणाम
கம்ப்யூட்டர்ல போட்டுறேன் ஓகே ஆ யா
ஆ இது ஆ எஃப்டி எஃப்டி